I can get all organized here. I was having too much fun talking to everybody. I didn't get around to half of you. Good to be together, amen? All right. Well, if you will, open your Bible to the book of John, Gospel of John. And I want to teach you what to do with a gift. Am I not on? Let's do this again. How about that? Good, amen. What to do with a gift. There are many surprising moments in gift giving. You might find yourself on Tuesday morning, Joseph, opening a beautifully wrapped present only to find the most awful green striped tie. Or how about the woman who opens her brand new beautifully wrapped Hoover? Marriage counseling is on the calendar. And then there are those Christmas socks that can only be worn for a week. look at Christmas socks. You never get to wear them again until next year, you know. But then again, gifts are like that, you know. It's gifts are a surprise. They're not always what we want. One man was given a roll of bin liners for Christmas. All rolled up, all these bin liners. And there's a note on it saying a skip would be arriving the day after St. Stephen's Day and the attic needed to be cleaned. Amen? One man, this is terrible, one man was given a nose hair clipper. And he wondered why. But how do you respond when someone gives you a gift? Especially a gift that you don't want or maybe that you just don't think that you need. Well, man has been struggling with this dilemma since the coming of Jesus Christ. Back in the manger, and mankind hasn't been doing very well about receiving gifts. So I want to look at this most basic reaction and make sure that we handle gift giving and receiving in the right way. Especially receiving the gift of God. Father, bless this study. Your word to our hearts. Change us through your word like you promised. But it does take yieldedness. It takes us allowing you to chip away and speak way down deep in our hearts. Lord, thank you for Jesus. Lord, may every person in this room look into their hearts and see if they receive the gift. Or are they just putting on a show? Is it just by accident or is it a determined choice? Lord, the act of accepting or rejecting this gift settles and determines eternity. So it's that serious. And yet it's that good too. So bless your word as we listen in Jesus' name. Amen. I first want to, if you'll go to John chapter 1, the Gospel of John. And I want to talk about our need for the gift. The Gospel of John chapter 1. There in verse 1, let's begin looking at the gift. Gospel of John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Mark that. All things were made by the Word. And without Him was not anything made that was made. So, who made everything? God. Jesus, the Word. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness. Oh, but the darkness comprehendeth it not. And there was a man sent from God whose name was Santa. No. Was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light. Still speaking of Jesus. That all men through him might believe. He was not that light. But but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He, speaking again, this Creator, He was in the world and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. Now, not every gift is something we want or that we think we need. Some gifts are what we need, whether we like it or not. Like new clothes. I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, I got a few toys and a lot of clothes. Amen? Was anybody else like that? Mainly, we got underclothes. I don't know why. But, we get a lot of things that we need, like electric toothbrush. That's cool for the first couple of days, and after that, there's a subliminal message in there, you know? All of mankind has a serious need. Man is separated from God because of one problem. What is it? It's called sin. It's not just general sin, it's gross sin. It is dark sins. Again, it speaks here in John chapter 1. He was the light to come into a dark world, a world that could not comprehend the light because of the darkness that was in this world. Sins that people, I tell you, I'm ashamed at 44 years old to hear of what 8-year-olds are talking about and what they're knowledgeable of. Things that people aren't ashamed of, but it's wicked sin that has separated us from God. See, people say, all right, yeah, I know I'm a sinner, but they don't think they're a bad sinner, amen? Before anybody ever gets born again, they come to admit and they come to agree, yeah, I'm wicked, amen? All of mankind has a serious need. Today, Christmas seems to be about a fake kind of lights. Oh, but these lights blink. They got color. And they even hang on the house and they look like it's snowing. Christmas today is consisting of tinsel-wrapped presents that break. Don't you hate that? You get a good deal, the kid gets these helicopters and they fly up and they come down and smash the first time. Christmas seems to be about selfish and spoiled children who never have enough, and it seems to be about guilt-ridden and debt-ridden parents who don't know when enough is enough. All of mankind is in a serious need. And the mass media market can't bring itself to ever say, Happy Birthday, Jesus. They'd rather just say, Happy Xmas. What this world needs is not a drink, or a dinner, or a holiday, or a bigger bank account, or a bag of toys. Our need is only spiritual. Go to John chapter 4 and verse 5. John chapter 4 and verse 5. Still in the Gospel of John, Jesus is sitting down at a well in an area called Samaria, and He's waiting for a woman to pass by. John chapter 4 and verse 5, Then cometh He to a city in Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with His journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour, which we would call high noon. It was noonday, very hot. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For His disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto Him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me? She says, Jews don't talk to people like me, which am a woman of Samaria, for the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered, watch these words, and said unto her, If thou knewest the what? The gift of God. And who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of Him, and He would have given thee living water. Now, again, it was noonday. Both of them are looking for water, amen? Jesus has no bucket, no rope, no way to go to retrieve the water. This woman comes up. She does have a bucket. She does have the rope. And Jesus said, Would you give me to drink, please? And in that need, Jesus actually reveals, you know what your real need is? A spiritual need. You know, this woman who came for that water, as you read on in the story there in the Bible, after she talks with Jesus, the penny drops. She goes, You're the Messiah! You're the promised one! and you love me. She didn't even stay for a drink, did she? She dropped her water pot, ran into the village, says, come, see a man who knows me and who still loves me. Amen? She got the gift. She realized water, even though she was thirsty, was not her real need. She had a spiritual need, and that is what every person needs. Every human being is born in the imminent danger of hell. At any moment, they could slip off into eternity without the new birth. They will spend it away from God in a devil's hell. And no amount of religious activity can fix that. No number of religious pilgrimages, no amount of money given to charities, no amount of prayers can balance the scales. You have a spiritual need that cannot be fixed by anything you can do. Amen? That spiritual need is met only by a spiritual gift named Jesus. You know what everybody needs? Everybody on this planet needs what Christmas is really all about. The person of Jesus Christ. I think Santa Claus is one of the cruelest creatures ever invented. If he loves children, how come there are over 2 billion children, well, 1.5 million children on this planet, who won't get anything for Christmas? Tell your children that about Santa. There are children who have everything and yet keep getting more and more and more, and their children have nothing, and Santa doesn't seem to stop at their house. Not unless mom... And if dad's around, mom and dad go into incredible debt. You understand? Santa's a very cruel, cruel creation to this world. You know what this world needs? Is what has been given by God. A person named Jesus Christ. That's what the true... It's amazing just how powerful the presence of a real person is at Christmas. I read yesterday how two young sisters, one 7 years old and one 5 years old, who had for the past 2 years been without their daddy because he had been over in Iraq. And they were at school just this earlier in the week, I don't know, Wednesday or whatever, and they were invited to come, and the whole class that they were in was invited to come into the gymnasium. And as they came into this big open area, over towards the side was this big box. And they didn't know anything. They just said, a special gift has come here just for you two. And they were very afraid, you know, very embarrassed. But all the class knew about it except them. So the class was going, go on, open it, go on. So they went over there, and there were obviously cameras there. And the two little girls went over there, and they're very embarrassed. And they start to open it up, and out comes Daddy. And the little girl went like this, and the bigger girl went, and just grabbed her dad. And you see, the power of the presence of somebody at Christmas means more than all the gifts they could have gotten in his place. Amen? That's the value of God coming in the flesh. Amen? Whew. How precious is the gift of family at Christmas. No wonder so many people hate Christmas, because they've got no family. They've got nobody there at Christmas. I think Christmas is dead if it only offers Xboxes and Wiis and train sets, although I do like train sets. I think it is dead if it only offers dolls and ties and perfumes and bubble baths and digital cameras and puzzles and stereos and iPods and mobile phones and drills and books and toy tractors. I discovered that Christmas is the best when it is full of people who are centered around the awesome person of Jesus Christ. That's what people need, amen? That's what makes... You can have the best family gathering, and if Jesus is not the center of it, it's a drunken party that grows dead within a few hours. Unfortunately, most think they don't need him. Isn't it funny how the creator of this world, the creator of the whole universe, walked around on this planet? He lived here for 30 years. No one really knew it. Remember back there in John chapter 1? Go back to chapter 1. Verse 10 says this, he was in the world. This creator of the universe was in the world, and the world even was made by him. And the world knew him not. And when they did know it, they didn't want him. Look at verse 11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. To them he was only the son of a carpenter. Not very well bred. To them, he was so uneducated. He never went to third level. Not an elitist like the upper crust of society would expect. He was so plain, so unglamorous, so common. Do you know, they really didn't want him. Do you know who does want such a person as that? The hungry soul. You know, a hungry man will eat just about anything, amen? You ever notice that? We were talking, Leo and I, or no, who was it? It was Amanda and Hannes. We were talking about a survival camp for young boys. Just take them out to Killarney somewhere. Give them a knife and a backpack with, you know, tent and everything. And then teach them how to make a bow and some arrows. And teach them how to make, bring some hooks, but teach them how to make a fishing rod. And teach these boys how to fish and then gut a fish. You know, a lot of boys won't eat a fish they've had to gut, but you will if you're hungry. Oh, I couldn't eat. You know, I have a friend who's over west, in the northwest United States. He's got one of the survival camps. He has it packed out every year. They go away for 2 weeks. And the men in the church, they got a lot of wild guys. They raise turkeys and chickens. They got all this. And they bring the turkeys into this big, land space. You know, like 40 acres. And they let the turkeys loose. They bring chickens. And they let them loose. Now, it's easy to catch a chicken. It's a lot harder to cook it when you've had to kill it. And the first couple of days, the guys, oh, I couldn't do that. Oh, but after 3 days, they eaten leaves and lettuce. You know what they'll do? They give me that chicken. You see, we're spoiled, amen. And people won't take a very simple, a plain kind of a Jesus. They want a Santa. They want a genie who just answers every one of their prayers. They want a God who just comes in like lightning and answers every one of their needs without them having any trouble in their life. Amen? So when you show them a plain kind of Jesus who was wrapped in swaddling clothes, who was born out in an obscure country where nobody could go and find him, there when they look at that, they go, what a quaint little nativity scene, and they move on in their life. They don't take him for what he is until you're hungry. And then you look at that nativity scene and you go, that's how my Savior was born. And he becomes something important to you. Amen? A hungry soul. Spiritually hungry man will take Jesus Christ as he really is. They won't look to him as a gift-giving Santa, but as a soul-saving and a life-changing Savior and Lord. That's the need. Now, let me talk about God's grace in giving the gift. Our need for the gift, but let's look at God's grace in giving the gift. Still back in John chapter 1 and verse 19. This is the record of John. This is John writing here. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask, now this is John the Baptist they're going to ask, who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And when they asked him, well, what then? Art thou Elijah? And he said, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, no. Then said they unto him, well, who art thou? That we may give answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself? And he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. This was not a good group. This was the religious crowd, and they weren't liking what they were hearing. And they asked him and said unto him, why baptizest thou then, if thou be not the Christ, nor Elijah, neither that prophet? And John answered them, saying, well, I indeed baptize with water, but there standeth one among you. He was right there at that time. He just hadn't showed himself. He says, there standeth one among you whom ye know not. The very created universe is standing right there among you. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to unloose. Now these things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, John actually gets to meet Jesus. Watch it. And he sees Jesus coming unto him, and he saith, behold, here he is, the Lamb of God, which taketh away, what? The sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me. Now, What you're looking at is a gift. We're looking at God's grace. You know what you're looking at? When John saw Jesus, he looked at a crowd who had gathered around, and they were all excited about the coming Messiah, but he knew this. He knew they really didn't want Jesus. They when it came, it would have to be John who would point him out because they wouldn't find him. They were blind. They were in darkness. And so John said, "That's him. That's the gift of God. That's the Lamb of God given to take away the sins of the world." Now what we're talking about is a thing called grace. And grace just means God's givingness. We call it kindness, but it's more than kindness. It's something where God wants to give. Do you know you don't have to force God to give? Do you notice that? It's part of His nature. God never gives out of debt. He has no guilty conscience that He's trying to salve, like many a parent. Grace is never anything you earn. It is God's internal nature to want to give and to give and give more. And did you know God is actually driven to meet our need? We have a need, and God wants to meet that need. That blows me away. You meet somebody and they have a terrible need, and you may or you may not want to help them with that need. It depends on how big the need is. You know, if somebody needs a euro, give a euro. Somebody needs a car, how quick are you to meet that need? This is God's way of living, and that is grace. Now, the kind of grace that God has is a very simple kind of grace. There's no hidden agenda with God, no complex formulas you got to go through. Grace is freely offered. Remember, Jesus shows up. Nobody had to ask Him to come. Nobody had to pray Him in. Nobody had to do anything in order to get this gift. He just shows up. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
No hidden agenda. No strings attached. Here comes grace. It's a simple kind of grace. Aren't you glad for a gift? Hey, you know when your wife gives you a gift and it says a honeydew jar. Did I tell you about the honeydew jar last week? A couple weeks ago, remember? A honeydew jar does not have honey in it. It has a list has a bunch of little pieces of paper of all the things she wants you to do. Are you listening? And you give that to your husband, he goes, "Oh, a honeydew jar. You know this? Honey, do this, and honey, do that. And honey, would you do that?" That's what a honeydew jar is. Ladies, I've just made your Christmas, didn't I? Gentlemen, we'll talk afterwards on how to get out of it. But you get this gift and there are strings attached, aren't there, amen? Oh, no dinner. Yeah. It's a simple kind of grace that God gives, but it is a sacrificial kind of grace. It cost God absolutely everything when He gave it. Do you know it was He who was humbled and rejected? You ever think of how many times you have a bad day? Nothing like what Jesus Christ had to endure. It was Him that was put on that cross. He was shamed. He was spit upon. He was beaten. He was hated. He was rejected. He was misunderstood. He was not wanted. You think you had a bad day? That was His price. He died. Not you. And He died so you wouldn't have to. Amen? He put up with our rejection and our misunderstandings, and He still gives and gives today, even though people just take and take. Every breath we take, He gave us. Amen? Whether we're saved or we're lost, every time it rains, every time there's food on the table, whether somebody's a born-again child of God or a wicked child of the devil and living only for themselves, you know what? God's being good to them, isn't He? And they take and they take and we take and we take. See God? You see grace? Sacrificial grace. How many times do you want to give to somebody who keeps taking from you and never give anything back? And keep giving and keep giving. Man, it's tough. Sacrificial. But I'll say this. It's a limited type of grace. It's a limited time offer. Go to 2 Corinthians now. To the right, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 2. "For He saith, I have heard thee in the time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee." A French word meaning I've helped you. Behold, when is the accepted time? Talk to me. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Why? Because you have no guarantee of tomorrow. You know that. I was 16 years old and I flipped my car and I shouldn't have walked away from it. When I was 17, two of my friends, they also got into car accidents, but they didn't walk away from it. One of them, their car went around a telephone pole. The other one went right into a tree and the car wrapped around the tree. They have no, and we woke up, went to school, and their seats were empty. Both died on the same night. There we are, realizing death comes when you don't expect it. You know, God's not going to wait forever. God can miss out on His great grace. Many a girl has given up on a guy waiting for him to get his act together. Amen? And many a guy has given up on a job, where you, or many a girl and guy, they go for a job interview and they say, we'll get back to you. 3 weeks later, 4 weeks later, 5 weeks later, you know what you do? You go look for another job. Amen? You just don't sit there. You know what? God does the same thing. He offers, He offers, He offers, and He offers. And you know what He says? If you don't want it, there will come a time. It's called appointment with death. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. You better be ready. That's the way it is with God. God's gift is His grace. But our choice, go back to John chapter 1, is either for or against that gift. John chapter 1 verse 10, we read it, but I want you to see something really remarkable. Here's how we learn how to handle a gift from God. You know what the truth is? Most people reject God's gift. Blows my mind, but I'm proof that that is true. Because I rejected it. John chapter 1, verse 10 and 11 says this: He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came into His own, and His own people, what did they do? They received Him not. It was as if somebody came for dinner, for Christmas dinner. Be like me going over to Bill and Geraldine's house and, hey, Bill, Geraldine, we're here. Go over. No, it's Craig. Bill, go away. I am not going away. I came for dinner. It's not here. And then he cracked open the door and says, don't want you. Not interested. He liked you, but no more. Bye-bye. You talk about pain. The point is this. That's how this world treated Jesus. You see, most people find it easier to reject God's gift. Take your Bible here and go back to the left. Got three scriptures to look at. Really powerful. 1 Samuel chapter 8. 1 Samuel in your Bible. Aha. First one there gets a fair rocher. Come on, Leo. I don't know how to get you in the Bible. Just have sweets up here and throw them at you if you find the scripture. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 7. This was at a time when Israel wanted a king. Seemed like a noble type of desire, but they wanted it in spite of what God wanted for them. And they demanded a king. It was like Christmas. I'm not going to be happy unless I get it. And so Samuel comes to the Lord and says, Lord, what do I do about this? I know they only need you, but they seem to only want a king. And watch 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 7. And the Lord says back to Samuel, hearken, go ahead and do what the voice of the people and all that they say unto thee. For they have not rejected thee. They haven't rejected you, Samuel. But they have what? They've rejected me that I should not reign over them. Oh, I would never reject God. Oh, yeah, you do. Especially when He's wrapped up in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And He's Lord of all. And yet you won't let Him be Lord of you. Amen? You reject. You don't reject the preacher. Preacher, that was the worst message you ever preached. Well, maybe so, but did you accept the gift? Samuel preached his heart out. Samuel tried to plead with those people. He says, you're rejecting God. You're rejecting His work. And the Lord had to encourage him and says, don't worry. They are rejecting me.
not you sin.
Show you another one. Go to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah 53. In the middle of your Bible, you'll find Psalms and Proverbs. Go to the right. Find Isaiah. Just a few books, and you'll find Isaiah 53. In verse 3. Isaiah 53 and verse 3. He is despised. No, not just was, but he is despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. I wonder who gave him grief. I wonder who gave him grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. We didn't want to see him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. We valued him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs. He took them on. And he carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. That's all we saw, was him being beaten. We didn't see him as a gift. But he was wounded for our transgressions. Amen? It wasn't for himself. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. One more. Go to Matthew 21. Matthew chapter 21 and verse 42. Matthew 21 and verse 42. Verse 42 says this, Jesus saith unto them, did ye never read in the Scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner, the most important stone of all. And this is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Haven't you ever read that scripture? When the stone that the builders came to and they said, this won't fit, this won't work, it's not what we want. That's the stone that God would place as the keystone of the whole building. Isn't that funny how the world naturally so quickly rejects God's gift? Strange to me just how hard-headed towards the gospel I was until the 15th of June, 1980. I went to church time after time, and I kept rejecting the idea that it was I that needed the saving grace of Jesus Christ in my life. It was always my sister. Yeah. I kept rejecting that I just could not be that in that great a need. So I rejected the only Messiah this world has ever had. You know, people reject Jesus like someone would reject a gift under a tree that they didn't want, even though they hadn't opened it. Can you imagine one of your kids doing this? Can you imagine coming and sitting down at the tree and there's all these gifts and you open it, and there's one and go, I'm not opening that one. And you're shaking your head going, why not? I just don't want it. Well, why don't you open it? I don't have to. Well, are you sure you know what's in there? Oh yeah, I know. It's the shape of a book and I don't want a book. Or it's the shape of this and I know what's in there. You haven't opened it yet. Amen? You know what the Bible says is really great? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen. Blessed is the man that trusts in Him. You know, a lot of Christmas dinners are wasted because they keep eating the same stuff and they won't taste something new. You had that salad last night there, Leo, right? Ooh, I thought he was a kid again. It was marvelous. This, what was it called? What was that salad? Waldorf salad. Brilliant! I haven't had that since I was a kid. And you know, if you didn't open up this gift named Jesus and find out what He's really like, you're going to miss what Christmas is all about. Isn't that wonderful? And most people do. I don't want it. I don't need it. You know, oh, how wide is the gate that leads to hell. And you don't have to do anything to go there. Go to Hebrews chapter 2. Go to the right. Hebrews chapter 2. You know all you have to do to go to hell? Just keep going with the crowd. Just do what's popular. The most awful thing you can do is to put off getting born again. Look at your Bible. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3 says this. How shall we escape if we... That's what it says. We say, well, I haven't rejected Christ yet. All you have to do to go to hell is this. If we neglect so great salvation. How are you going to escape if all you do is just put it off? I'll get saved next year. Oh, maybe next week. You know what you're doing? You're sealing your destiny. It's all you have to do to go to hell. Reject the cure. Reject the Savior. Just keep believing you don't need the Lord Jesus in your life. You just need a little bit of religion. You need a little time in prayer. I think we need to have Christmas Sunday and Easter Sunday every Sunday. Amen? Because for all those people who only go to church on Christmas and Easter, we'd get them back for every Sunday. Amen? You know, every Sunday is Christmas and Easter Sunday, by the way. Some people think they just need a little bit of religion, or a little time in prayer, or a little time in devotion, or a little act of a contrition, and they will end up splitting hell wide open when they die. Ah, but I love John chapter 1, verse 12. John chapter 1, only two more scriptures and we're through. John chapter 1 and verse 12, if you could go back there real quick, it says this. In verse 11, he came unto his own and his own received him not, but there's a great word in there in verse 12, but. John 1, 12, but as many as received him, it was to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even of them that believe on his name. You know, I'm glad that some do accept Jesus. The woman at the well in John chapter 4, she accepted the free gift and was never the same. Nicodemus in John chapter 3, it took a little while, but he too received the free gift of eternal life and found it in the person of Jesus Christ. He first comes up to Jesus, I know you're a great teacher sent from God. And Jesus said, not good enough. You better allow me to be your Savior. Amen. Can't just think of me as a great person. You have to have me as your great Savior. I'm going to have to get into your life, Nicodemus, and start all over with you. Amen. Took a little while. You know, the blind men, they accepted Jesus not only as a miracle worker, but as the Savior of their soul. The lame, the crippled, the lepers, they came to Jesus. They found Him all true. Even the harlots and the sinners, the publicans, they took Him and they received Him gladly, the Bible says. Isn't that amazing? You know, I'm glad. I know that most reject Jesus. I know that most people would rather have a very convenient type of God, a very, very convenient kind of religion that adjusts to their wants, that adjusts to their schedule, that adjusts to what they think they need. But you know, there are still those who take Jesus as He is, who will receive the gift. Amen? How humble and how low He may seem, we'll take Him. Amen? Some do accept. What are you going to do with Jesus? Go to Mark chapter 15. This is our last place. Mark chapter 15. Pilate couldn't bring himself to handle what was standing before him. So he asked the crowd. Mark chapter 15, verse 12. He asked the crowd, what are we going to do with this guy named Jesus? Mark 15, verse 12. Jesus has already been beaten. He has already been whipped. He has already been spit upon, and his flesh has been emaciated. He has just been ripped to shreds. And there he is with this royal robe on him in mocking stature, and with a crown of thorns placed upon his head. And those soldiers had taken their rods and had beaten that crown deep into his skull. There he was standing in front of the crowd. In verse 12, Pilate answered and said again unto them, what will ye then that I shall do unto him that ye called the King of the Jews? And they cried out again, crucify him. Then Pilate said unto them, why? What evil hath he done? And they cried out the more exceedingly, crucify him. Crucify him. So Pilate, willing to content the people. Isn't that what most churches are about? They want to keep the people. I want to keep everybody happy. Isn't that what most parents' Christmas is about? I've got to keep them happy, because if Christmas, if Junior ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. You know, Pilate set the stage for one of the worst tragedies at Christmas. Trying to make people happy. Instead of trying to get them to receive what they really need. The free gift. So Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them. Remember, Barabbas was a murderer. And he delivered Jesus, whom he had scourged him, when he had scourged him, to be crucified. What are you going to do with Jesus? Do you know God respects you enough to actually allow you to choose? Is that amazing? He actually says, look, you're in a bad situation, but I leave it up to you. You choose what you do. You choose where you go. It's up to you. I gave you free will, and I step back. I can only do so much. It's now up to you. What an awful responsibility we have when we're faced with that nativity scene. What will we do with Jesus? Will we leave Him as a cute little baby? Will we go to the Christmas cantatas and the Christmas plays and leave Him there? Or will we bow as Pilate should have and said, He is Lord? Will we make Him our Lord? You know, just by way of conclusion, have you accepted Jesus Christ into your life and into your heart today? Is he somebody that is the most important person in your life, or is he now somebody that you go, I need him? How do you receive the gift? Well, by agreeing with God that his Christmas gift is not really what we may want, but it sure is what everybody needs, amen? Secondly, by repenting to God for your sinfulness and your wickedness. You do not come to God and negotiate. You know what you do? You surrender. That's how you become a Christian. That's how you receive the free gift. And all you have to do is ask for it. Again, it's a gift. If I had a gift for my children, I said, here. And I said, but it's 15 euros. It's not a gift, amen? It's an exchange, amen? That's not a gift. God's grace is a gift. All you have to do is ask for it. In faith, believing that Jesus is your only hope. And then when you get Him, guess what? You follow Him. You follow Him. You're not a sinner that has Jesus. You know what you have? You're a Christian now that follows Jesus. That's what He's asking for. Will you take Him and follow Him? You know what happens to you when you do receive Him? A great change takes place. You know what it's called? Between you and God, there's peace. And then there's something even more marvelous. There's the peace of God. There's something that happens in your life. You say, but I'm still struggling. Yeah, but you've got help now. Oh, I still have the same old me to struggle with. Yeah, but aren't you glad you have a new Jesus? Brand new in your life, and He's there for all eternity, and He'll fix you if you'll let Him. Step by step. You get adopted. You know what? You get moved out of the devil's family and put into God's family. I think that's good enough. Amen?
Amen.
You get a new permanent address up in heaven. It's called a mansion. Everybody's invited there. I'll have tea and coffee. To everybody's heart's delight. And you get a Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God in you to help you, to strengthen you, to encourage you as you follow Jesus. And what does the gift cost? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. It's a gift. So stop trying to earn God's grace. I know too many people have the idea that Jesus died for about 90, maybe 95% of their sins, but they're responsible for the rest of them. God's grace cannot be purchased. It's never delivered through anybody. It's given to you because of somebody named Jesus. Stop trying to pay God back for it. Stop trying to make yourself worthy of His grace and just start living in it. And you know, I like thanking a gift giver, amen? We have a family tradition. Some of you probably have a zoo on Christmas morning or Christmas evening. You think a Tasmanian devil was in there opening all their gifts. That's your husband. But you know what we do? We make everybody slow down, and you have to open up a gift one at a time. You have to find out who it's from and open it up, go wow, and then thank them for giving you that gift. I like that. I don't care. Really, you shouldn't have too many gifts that it takes 4 hours to open up everybody's gift. But I think it's important for us, if you do get the gift of God, to thank Him. Amen?
Amen.
I think it's a regular thing we should do, like every minute of every day. What does the gift cost? Maybe a thank you. Maybe a thank you. Thanking God for His unspeakable, indescribable, most marvelous gift named Jesus. Let's stand and let's bow in prayer. Folks, I've talked to you very, very plainly, very simply about a gift and how to take or reject that gift. You have all the power in your hand to reject it. You're full right and say, not for me. Fine. Just understand the consequences. You have every right to say, I don't want to follow the rules of the road. I'm going to drive as I please. You're very welcome to. I'll see you in the casket. But if you want to take this gift, it will change your life. It will save your soul. And it's not a thing. You can't come up to me and get it from me. It's a person. All you have to do is ask Him to save your soul. And don't you go out of here saying, well, I'm a good person. Well, I go to church. I've been a person and I've been in this church for the last 12 years. And I carry my Bible every day. Yeah, but without Christ, you will go to hell. He is your only hope for going up. Do you have the gift? With nobody looking around. Best Christmas ever would be if Jesus was able to move from a stable and a manger and move into your heart. You know, the best Christmas lights are Christians. The best Christmas story is your life lived before people. I like reading the Christmas story, but I love living it more. Amen? But it begins with the new birth. Are you born again? I'm not asking for your religion. I'm asking, are you born again? That comes when you tell God, I'll take the gift. Have you received the gift? It's a person. It's like when you got married. You said, I take this woman to be my wife. I take this man, God help me, to be my husband. Amen? Will you take Jesus now? Father, bless this thought, this truth, all this message to every heart. We need it. What a shame if in this church there'd be somebody who'd come and go, learn all this, and never settle. Never accept, never receive the gift. You promised it. You said He came into His own received Him not, but to as many as just received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. It was a gift. Will you please save somebody today as they yield to you? And encourage every Christian in this room just how valuable a Christmas we've already had. We had Christmas the day we were born again, and it's been a continual feast ever since. And we didn't earn it. We never can earn it. But we sure need to thank You. We sure need to introduce more people to this great Christmas gift. So bless our truth today. Bless our homes. Change our homes, Father. Save our homes. We love You and thank You for Jesus. And if there's anybody in this room who is not saved yet, or who just today prayed and asked You to save them because of grace, not because of their merit, but because of Jesus, let them have the courage to take my hand, talk to me after the service, tell me, confirm it. The Bible says, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. There's no way to be ashamed of being saved. So bless, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Grab your hymnal. Open your hymnal. 209 I have. 209. Grace greater than our sins.